that's a thing I can ask. That would look improper. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Peter Carlin coming up next hour. 503-733-2970. All right, not going to say anything. We got the Paris Hilton news. Bunch of email crap to get through. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy be coming up as well. We got this. Rick, are there gremlins at Coin? Dude, this email says. Any idea what's up with Coin news? Boy, there's just so many answers to that question. 3 or 5 glitches and sound outages during the evening news already tonight. Dough, it says.
I was watching it on Friday or Thursday, I can't remember, and every time they would go to one of the correspondents who was outside, they would never have sound.
Really?
And you could even hear the one, she's like, well, once again, we're experiencing technical difficulties. You know, we'll get back to that story when we can.
Sort of Coin news is done by the Jim Cramer show. Maybe they should bring it up with some of their camera people at, sorry. Maybe some of their live board ops at Coin with it. Okay. It's 503-733-29. Maybe they should bring it up with some of their non-embittered employees who aren't planning to leave. Well, anyway. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Just a moment. We'll go back to Tim Riley. We also got some phone calls. But before we do anything else, ladies and gentlemen, let us now make way for our man, Ed McCarthy, from Atlanta. How are you, sir?
Good. Actually, I'm in Lugoff, South Carolina today. I'm here covering the kid that was in the hole there.
This is no good. This the whole story is creepy. Before we kind of delve into the ugliness that is this sort of Silence of the Lambs-esque story, let me ask you this. I was just talking to Sarah, and is it so? She said that you called, and I apologize we're running a few minutes late here, but she said that you called.
Okay.
She said that you had actually called at the top of the hour, and she said, well, we're running a couple minutes late, we'll get to you. And that you called back, is it because your cell phone was nearly out of minutes?
No. I'm just kind of saving the juice on it, back and forth here. Because
okay.
When you get out here sometimes, it's pretty good service, but, you just want to be sure, you know?
All right, because I wanted to make sure that, because I was going to say, if CNN was actually too cheap just to get you a roaming plan, we could all chip in or something, but okay.
I think they get late-night hotel plans, because they always call me at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night when the story's been around for 2 days and send me out.
Hey, by the way, would you like to be somewhere 3,000 miles away by tomorrow morning? Have fun.
Yeah, we need you for morning drive. Can you get in that rental car, go down to Hartsfield, get that rental vehicle, and drive 6.5 hours, get there at 1:15 in the morning, and get up at 5. You can do that, can't you?
By the way,
sure.
We'd also like to have you talk to a bunch of hack morning shows, and be perky. Lugoff, South Carolina, I'm going to tell you right now, hey, look, maybe I should be more versed in the country in which I live, but I have no idea where Lugoff, South Carolina is. It sounds like a really big, bustling, smart kind of place.
Yeah. At about 12:15 a.m., I didn't either, to be perfectly honest with you, because somebody told me it was near Columbia. They said, it's near Columbia. And I'm going through Columbia, and we're only on exit 44, and I'm at exit 92 is where I'm supposed to be getting off. So
I told him this morning,
I said, it's closer to Hilton Head, you know what I mean?
how many people live in Lugoff, South Carolina, would you guess?
It's a small community, Lugoff, and then there's Camden. Camden is kind of historic for Revolutionary War. They had all Revolutionary War generals were all hooked up here, and they had a couple of battles here, which is kind of rare for the South. But it's a very, very small community, very, very tight-knit. You know, it's the typical Southern deal where, you know, you start asking around where the parents of this kid live, and suddenly nobody knows, you know?
Yeah. Or it's one of those places where everything, like, all directions are given to you based upon an old barn that used to be down the road. Well, you take a left at the old McClintock place. Of course, that's gone now, and there's that fruit stand there.
I just guessed something like that a while ago.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly.
Directions for the courthouse.
Were you at, and it's like a landmark that often isn't there anymore, and that's what they want you to navigate by. They go, well, do you know where that boy with the odd eye used to sell plums? Now, you want to take a left there, and then you're going to see a broken-down Torino. Now, inside that Torino is my cousin. He will tell you where to.
Actually, it's the Shoney's. The Shoney's. That's the landmark.
Yeah, there'll be a Cracker Barrel. Well, all right. Well, let's, I mean, And we're kind of making light here, but let's talk this nutcase. So I actually don't know a whole lot about this story because it was sort of just breaking as we came in this morning. And, you know, we're often prepping in the hours leading up to the show and don't get a chance to check CNN.com as much as we might otherwise. So what is it? How old was this girl that got kidnapped?
14 years old. God. And she was kidnapped apparently when she got off of the school bus. And this guy now, he's 36 years old. He faces charges of kidnapping, first-degree criminal sexual conduct. He's got all kinds of a laundry list here against him.
Right.
And he had the kid for 10 days down in this bunker.
Now, first of all, they ought to just put this guy away just for being freaking creepy. When they say underground bunker, I mean... Is that just a hole or that he dug, or what is the deal?
It was a bunker. He had a series of tunnels and bunkers. Oh. He had about five of them nearby.
Oh.
He was trying to get away from authorities, so he was hiding out. He was kind of like the guy that was up in the mountains of North Carolina, the guy that bombed Centennial Olympic Park.
Eric Rudolph?
Yeah. Kind of like Rudolph.
Here's a key. If you're trying to evade authorities, it helps not to kidnap a 14-year-old girl that everybody's then going to look for. This guy just seems so dumb. I mean, which I guess we should be grateful for, but the idea is, so he kidnaps her, and then he lets her keep her cell phone. Is that the deal?
Well, that's the what happened was she actually got the cell phone, and she used it. She text messaged the mother who got the thing, and she called authorities. See, now, the thing of it was, they considered this a missing persons thing, but they never issued an Amber Alert, you know, that alert
right.
They put up on all the billboards.
Sure.
On the highways there, these lighted signs. But anyway, this guy, they got him, and he says, what are you doing? And she says, just playing. And, she got away with that. And
how did she tell her mom where she was? I mean, was she looking? I mean, how do I put this? She wasn't blindfolded or anything when he was taking her to wherever he took her? She saw the whole way?
I'm not sure about that. This guy's been really uncooperative, and we're trying to get a lot of information. The sheriff says that he's not talking to him, but what she was underground, and she said she heard trucks and things going by, and she kind of recognized the intersection, and it turned out it was right near her house.
God, this guy.
So just by sound, she had an idea where she was.
Well, good for her. And I mean, was this one of these weird, creepy things where the guy was on the lam and he was going to be taking her with him the whole way, like some sort of weird child bride or something?
He's got a common law wife, and she's also under arrest, facing charges because she's pretty much an accessory, But they're still trying to sort out whether or not she knew that he had the girl. What they have her on is the fact that she was with him, and basically while he was being he was wanted by authorities, and she was with him. So that's the hook where they can get her. So we're gonna learn a lot more on this thing. But you got to hand it to this 14-year-old.
Oh no,
so happy.
Yeah,
they're giving her a break today to kind of let her mentally thaw out here from this whole episode. But,
that's pretty impressive though that she could, by the sound of it, figure out where she was. That's I don't know that I could do that. So,
yeah, exactly.
I'm being morbid about it. Was she okay with it? I mean, is she okay? She didn't get harmed or anything, I hope.
Well, she seems to be all right, but then again, they're kind of taking it slow and easy with her because she's been through one heck of a trauma. So, anyway, they're kind of, giving her a break today, and they'll be talking more with her, but in the meantime, she was pretty, pretty sharp, and you got to hand it to her. If I was a 14-year-old kid, I don't even know if I would... Well, of course, when I was 14, they didn't have cell phones.
No, but, the guys like this are just so worthless. This guy ought to just be taken out and made into compost somewhere. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of people that are just completely useless. And this guy seems to be he's just in that category. He's right near the top. So, good God.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I imagine we'll be following up on this, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Thank you, Ed. Enjoy your stay in Lugoff, South Carolina.
Certainly will. Thanks.
I'm sure there's a flapjack house or something locals would be happy to tell you about.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed McCarthy. Good God. Yeah, the whole thing is just bizarre. Let's see. Okay. I don't want to look at this. Rick, I'm dreaming about you and Scotty J. All right. Well. Oh, apparently this is from Tim Riley. This is The More You Know. Lugoff. Lugoff was named for Count Lugoff. Really?
Of course, we wouldn't lie to you.
I'm just saying, Count Lugov sounds like one of those six-fingered men or something in The Princess Bride. A Russian engineer who helped build the Seaboard Airline Railway. Lugov is one of many stations in Kershaw County. It's 4 miles west of Camden. Blah, blah, blah.
Things to do.
This is from the Kershaw County Chamber of Commerce. Oh, wait, this is fantastic. Kershaw County offers something for everyone. Our area is blessed with an abundance of natural beauty, outdoor recreational opportunities, and the largest, most of these are outdoor recreational opportunities, apparently have to do with it, kidnapping future underage wives, and a mild climate with year-round activities. History, horses, and hospitality abound throughout the county.
The three H's.
Events during the year range from the Carolina Cup to the... Events during the year range from the Carolina Cup to the Catfish Stomp and Bethune Chicken Strut. I've turned it to him. I no longer have any idea what I'm reading.
Well, you're stomping as many catfish as you can with a poopy.
Really, apparently so. Anyone spending time here will want to return, says the Kershaw County Chamber of Commerce. Do you ever think about that? There are people in this world that's their job. What do? I work at the Kershaw County Chamber of Commerce, which basically amounts to sitting at a desk somewhere. Behind you are bookshelves lined with Reader's Digest condensed books. And, like, the Silver Sow Award or something that you won at some point, coated
Make
with dust.
Chicken plunking seem attractive.
Totally. That's it. The annual, the annual legume festival. You know, you're in your garage making a
The whittling and folk music.
All right. Should I be answering whatever the hell? Okay. Darren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good morning or afternoon, Rick. I was calling about the Seventh Heaven show you said was off the air.
Yes.
They actually did end the show last year, and within about 2 to 3 weeks or even a month, one of the main characters, the little blonde-haired snot-nosed kid, came back on saying they've already talked to us about coming back.
Because America just can't live without Seventh Heaven.
Well, and when they ended the show, because unfortunately my wife is addicted to sappy crap, they left so many unanswered questions that everyone was like,
yes.
Why did you end?
Yeah, we were all on tenterhooks about whether what's-her-name was going to get that crotch operation.
Exactly. And whose baby and why and marriage and,
Okay. Is it really? Hasn't that show been on the air for like 15 years? It's good that they have room for that. Who needs Arrested Development? Who needs anything of quality? That's what he needs. More shows about blonde-haired, perky Christian people in Missouri.
10 years of that, and my wife has to watch every single damn one of them.
All right.
I don't get to watch any Arrested Development or anything of substance.
Thank you, sir. What a happy life you must lead. Better luck next time.
Good day.
All right, thank you. Good day to you, sir. All right, then. I don't even know whether I want to read this. Subject line?
Please do.
Dreams of Rick and Scotty J. Who wants to know about a dream that a woman had about me and Scotty J?
I do.
Sure.
Sarah? Hey, Rick. Lindsay here. Just a quick note. I have no idea who this woman is. Just a quick note to tell you how you and your show have infiltrated my subconscious. I had my first... This is a little creepy. I had my first Rick Emerson dream last night. Before you get too excited, it was not a special dream of erotic nature. No. This dream consisted of you and Scotty J and I, says Lindsay, hanging out in a 70s-style living room with shag carpet and brown wood panel walls. How exciting. We were discussing Scotty's cat, which was named after him. However, I kept insisting that the cat's name was Chris, and you proceeded to yell at me that no, his name is Scotty J. It went on and on, and I'm already confused. And I just kept realizing how many people I had told the cat's name was Chris, named after Scotty. Then I got really pissed off in this dream, but then you started to flirt with Scotty, and I left the room. Anyway, there was the dream. Not the most elaborate or coherent, you don't say. But it definitely demonstrates the impact that you and Scotty have on me. There you go. Thought you'd enjoy. Thank you, Lindsay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, work mixes with pleasure in the new Fox comedy Standoff starring Ron Livingston and Rosemary DeWitt as FBI negotiators who have been putting in time together in the bedroom. Livingston says his character's chemistry is so key to the show that he and DeWitt had to be tested before they were cast. He says even though it's tough that it's his first starring role in a television program, he's not feeling any pressure.
It's the same thing, but just more. You work a little bit more every week, ultimately, it's not really about you anyway. It's about the audience and telling the story.
It's about the work.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're already kind of almost through with this segment. So let's do a couple more here. Then we'll play the Week in Geek. Then we'll come back. We'll come back at the bottom of the hour.
Double penis watch.
Fantastic.
Take
Here's your penis watch.
My enormous penis.
Who is that? That's not Julie Louis Dreyfus, is it? Okay.
I don't know. It's some random girl.
All right. She looks very wide.
She looks very V-shaped.
Is going my way.
Here's Tim Riley.
A man needed surgery to have sex after having it with a hedgehog. A Serbian man needed emergency surgery after he had sex with a hedgehog under witch doctor's advice. Zoran Nikolovic of Belgrade said the witch doctor told him it would cure his premature ejaculation, but it ended up, well, sending him to the operating theater after the hedgehog needles left his penis severely lacerated. But the animal was unhurt.
Thank
the
God.
Patient came up much worse from the encounter.
Yeah, let me just say that, by the way, this is one of the larger hedgehogs. There's two different kinds of hedgehogs.
Oh.
There's pygmy hedgehogs, which are what I have, which are very small, about the size of a koosh ball. And then there are the European hedgehogs, which is undoubtedly what he had the encounter with. And they're large. They're the size of like a very large football or something. So there you go. So, and by the way, those needles will go right. Those will go right through you, man. That's a hot knife.
Try it.
Yeah, that's a hot knife with butter. Kids, don't. He's not a role model.
And the second story of this nature is a man rejects the first penis transplant. This comes to us from China. Chinese surgeons have performed the world's first penis transplant on a man whose organ was damaged beyond repair in an accident last year. It left the man with a 1 centimeter long stump in which he was unable to urinate or have sexual intercourse.
Okay.
His quality of life was affected severely, said Dr. Willy Hu.
How do you feel about bags?
A doctor spent 15 hours attaching a 10-centimeter penis to the 44-year-old patient.
Sarah got all excited. Here's the thing. If you could chart Sarah's facial expression through that sentence, it's fantastic. Because it sort of becomes a smiley face, then sort of puzzled for a second, and then just sort of nonplussed. It was like, attached a 10-centimeter...
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of the realization sunk in. All her excitement sort of flooded away.
No, it was more curiosity, not excitement.
Well, this after the parents of a brain dead man half his age agreed to donate her son's organ. So
yeah.
I guess he's still alive. Well, he may have been. The surgical team claims the operation was a success. After 10 days, tests revealed the organ had a rich supply of blood, and the man was able to urinate normally. Doctors had previously succeeded in reuniting men with their sexual organs after traumatic accidents and attacks. But this operation is the first in which a donated penis was attached successfully to another man. So there'll be more of these, and I guess franchises will be available.
There you go. Let's see. Oh, by the way, we should read this. This is about men kissing men in Italy. This is from Aaron. Rick, I can't believe I'm about to address this, but here you go. This is apparently if you are Italian. Related men, which is blood relation and are close by marriage, may kiss on the lips. Non-related men, lip kissing is only allowed from a man of higher authority, as it is a sign of dominance. Non-related men.
Like Dick Cheney.
Yeah, yes. cheek kissing is allowed and expected in Europe within more sophisticated circles. It is gaining popularity on the U.S. Eastern Seaboard.
I think this is a made-up story.
Who am I? Aaron says. He says, as one who is both Italiano and Chicano, I thought Chicano meant you were from Puerto Rico.
No, no, no.
What is Chicano?
Well, it's another way of saying you're Hispanic, I believe.
All right. Is this good? I get very... Once I start wading into Latin cultures, I get so confused. Because... Well, whatever. He says, as someone who is both Italian and Chicano, I get all kinds of mixed oral messages. Then generally devolves into being squeezed by hairy-nosed men. Just so you know. Aaron Geek in the city. All right, there you go. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick, about baby cows. They do exist. It's called veal. All right, thank you. When you finally get a new scalp, will you be able to spike a volleyball slide into home and cruise the ocean in your brand new boat? Yes, I will. Thank you very much. I didn't get a chance. Somebody was asking me to clarify the difference between the medical hair restoration and the hair club for men, and I don't have time to do it now. I'll do a little bit. Was it Scotty that saying he had a friend that did the hair club for men?
I believe he said that.
That's the thing too. The thing about the hair club for men, I'm not saying that it. I mean. whatever. I mean, you know, whatever you're going to do. But the thing is, once you do that, the problem is you can never quit paying. That's like when a mafia guy comes by your pizza and goes, "Ah, great, great restaurant you got here. Shame if something would have happened to it." That's totally what the Hair Club for Men thing is. Because the deal is, when you have the Hair Club for Men, and I know this because I knew a girl who worked there, and her job was to glue hair onto men's heads. The deal is, even if you're like me, because I'm not bald, but I've got a thinning, as they say. There's some hair loss. And the deal is, you go in, and they just completely shave your head all the way down to the scalp. Just all the way down to the... You know, you're just like Michael Chiklis. And then they literally just get a rug. It's just like one of those things that goes around the base of your toilet, but it's hair. And they glue it onto your head, like with super glue. And when you, and it's like $500, $600 a month from then on. And the deal is, you're not paying for the hair, because you've already got the hair. The story, what you're paying for...
The thing on the back of the toilet seat.
No, you're paying for the glue. And if you decide, well, screw you, Hair Club for Men, I'm no longer paying. They just say, well, that's fine, because the deal is, it's very savvy, where the glue only lasts for about a month. And so that's why you got to keep going back. It really is a pretty... From a business perspective, it's a pretty savvy thing the Hair Club for Men does, because the glue is designed to start degrading after 1 month. So if you decide you're not going to pay the money to the Hair Club for Men anymore, one of those days, man, it's like you're going to be combing your hair, coming out of a swimming pool, and it's like... And it's just going to start to slide off.
Like a suction cup.
Or like a Band-Aid after you've taken a long steam somewhere.
Coming full like a plunger off your head.
Exactly. And it just starts to slide away. So there you go. I'm sorry, Scotty. Scotty's typing a lot of very defensive statements about the Hair Club for Men on the screen. Is there something you'd like to share with us? You do seem to have a very full head of hair for a man who's in his 40s. Uh-huh. Okay, whatever.
Maybe that's a course they teach you at college.
Yeah, did they include that for your 22 grand at Mount Hood? All right.
Let's take an elective.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll go back to the Ministry of Truth when we return. Later on, we have the Week in Geek coming up. Peter Carlin and all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 1:33 on a Monday. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. All right. Coming up, we got Tim Riley just a few moments here at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll talk to Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin about the new season, which I think officially starts. I don't know that there's anything else to be excited about. There's just that. There's just that and a bunch of shows that seem like really thinly veiled ripoffs of Lost. So that's pretty much it. We got that, and we'll squeeze in. In fact, let's do, Sarah, after we do the Tim segment, after we do the news, let's play the superhero stuff spot. Because I think Todd's head is going to explode if we don't do it. Because he sends me increasingly screechy emails, as do many people every single day about this. By the way, before I get these calls and do Tim, we've got... this dispatch from our good friend Todd the Corpse, who I think he's listening online, I think. Rick, this email, because he said he was going to Kennewick, and I'm unclear about why he's going to Kennewick. I think maybe he's there with his wife or something. He's got relatives or something. Rick, he says, "I'm kicking it in Kennewick right now. I told Mrs. Corpse that we'd head back to Portland at around 3 o'clock, mostly because then I can download today's show to listen to on my way home. Anyway, I thought I would let you know," he says, "that I tried once again to rock the Tri-Cities by karaokeing. It ended out poorly. I opened strong with Green Day's Basket Case, which was semi-awkward because I had to sing, 'So I went to a whore who said my life's a bore, 2 feet in front of my mother-in-law.' The redneck crowd wasn't enjoying the Green Day, though. I busted out my 'Every Rose Has Its Thorn,' but I had to resort to verbally taunting the people just sitting at the bar. I shouted into the microphone, 'Hey, dudes, sitting at the bar, pleased to be bringing the rock,' and throwing them devil horns. One of them turned around slightly, so I shouted at everybody in the bar, 'Hey, look at that guy bringing the rock right now.' And then I wooed at the top of my lungs." I'm unclear about whether he was drunk during any of this.
I think he probably had to be.
Later on, the karaoke machine broke down, so I had to improv half of the Bare Naked Ladies If I Had $1 Million by telling the crowd it was lame and I hated them. The whole thing was ridiculous and genius. I thought you'd get a kick out of it. By the way, the other highlight, he says, of my visit to the Tri-Cities was stopping by, quote, the Sausage Fest, which is literally a festival of sausages. And no one here thought the term was as funny or meaningful as I did. So I would like to know what I did while in the Tri-Cities. There you go. I've been to the Sausage Fest, by the way. That's a... The Sausage Fest is one of... I never really considered what a ridiculous name that is. No, there is a sausage festival that happens every year in the Tri-Cities. And it is a glorious time for all. Let me read a couple of these. We'll do some calls. We'll talk to Tim Riley. Rick, did you read the Oregonian bit? I heard about this on Friday, but I was unable to verify whether it's real or not. Did you read the Oregonian business page? Coffee People has sold all of their locations to...
I have it right here.
Really? All right. Don't reveal it yet. It's a guarantees. Coffee People has sold all of their locations to someone who will be revealed in just a moment. This is Jake. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, man. What's up?
What's up, brother?
Talking about the hair club for men.
Yes.
It's funny that you're talking about that because I'm a musician, and
yes.
The guy that I've been working on a project with is the owner of the Oregon franchise of Hair Club for Men.
Okay.
He's a phenomenal guitarist, but, you know, it'd be really cool probably. I could probably get you set up with an interview with him to check out the pros and cons of Hair Club for Men versus everything else. But, you know,
I can tell you that's not happening. You just turned off your microphone, Rick.
I'm sorry?
What was that?
What? Oh, we're losing your phone, sir.
Oh, can you hear me now?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to talk over the dial tone.
No, we lost him.
I know.
It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk and the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Coffee People has been swallowed up by... Starbucks.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
The Java Giant has bought 40 stores from the Coffee People's chain, current owner Dietrich Coffee, for $13.5 million. Known for its quirky hippie roots and a no-backtalk policy, Coffee People started in Eugene...
Does this mean their coffee is going to start to suck now? Is that the thing? Are they going to...
I betcha.
Is that part of the press release? Their coffee will now become the suck. But seriously, and is this going to be one of those things where it still looks like a Coffee People on the outside and it's just owned by Starbucks, or is it going to still look like a Coffee People but it's just going to be Starbucks product?
We're waiting for the press release.
All right. If anybody knows, Scotty's saying I heard rumors of this 2 years ago. Well, no, they were... Coffee People got bought by somebody else a couple years ago. Yeah.
Because it was Dietrich Coffee.
Because it was owned by that husband and wife team. That if you go to some of the old school Coffee People, like I think the one downtown still has their... It's like the woman with the glasses and the overalls and whatever. They got bought by the Dietrich Coffee. So I guess it does seem inevitable, if somewhat sad, that Starbucks... Because here's the thing,
they bought out everything else. What was that other brand, the Torrefazione?
Oh, really? Did Starbucks buy that
Starbucks
too?
Starbucks bought that years ago.
God damn, I hate Starbucks.
Yeah, they've always had it, but they've just, you know, kept it, you know, really hush-hush, so everyone thinks that they're buying from an independent distributor when they're buying from Starbucks.
Man, and I'm not one of those guys. I don't hate Starbucks just because they're Starbucks, and I don't hate Starbucks just because they're a big company. I hate Starbucks because their coffee is terrible. That's why I dislike Starbucks, because their coffee tastes like blackened ass. It just does. It tastes like little bits of radial tire that have been ground up and put into some sort of a sludgy beverage. And I have a theory, by the way. It's not so much my theory as it is a conspiracy theory, and it's not so much mine as it is my wife's, but it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. She actually, my wife, has a theory that Starbucks coffee, because I have mentioned this in the past, but it's worth noting again here, because we're, you know, we're talking about this story, that, and this is true, right? This is a true fact. So Coffee People has been purchased by Starbucks.
Yes.
God, it's just sad. Because as has been, I think, well established in this world, there is no one who likes Starbucks coffee. Now, I'm not talking about their coffee drinks, their upscale things. I'm talking about when you go and you say, give me a house. And they, you know, they pour you the medium coffee and you take it and you drink it. I don't know anybody who likes that. So her theory is that their coffee is deliberately bad because it's two things. It's that the coffee is terrible at Starbucks, coupled with the fact that their stores are everywhere, which means that just the law of averages and convenience dictates that about 80% of the time when you want a coffee beverage or caffeine, you will go to Starbucks. But you'll go there, realize the coffee is bad, and then you will buy like a $9 mocha. So that's her whole theory, is that the coffee is deliberately bad, so you will then buy something for like three times the price just because it tastes better. And I'll be the first to say that theory makes some sense to me, because I went through a period in my life when I was drinking, what are those things, the Frappuccinos? Mm-hmm. By the gallon. And it's because I was working at 7-Eleven, and so they would occasionally, especially if we were overstocked, I would just drink those because they taste fantastic. Of course, they're bad for you, and they cost more than gold, but they taste really good. None of those things can be said about their coffee. Their coffee is cheap and terrible. So that's my... But Coffee People has coffee that I really genuinely like. It's a good-tasting coffee. And, I mean, if they change that, I'm going to be so disheartened and disappointed.
Well, be ready for it.
All right.
Isn't the thing that they want to do is to basically pretend like they didn't buy it? Like how they always do.
Well, that's the...
So hopefully they'll keep it the same, because that way we won't know that it's owned by Starbucks and people maybe will still think they're buying from Coffee
I
people.
Hope so, because if they... Because, you know, if they start putting all of their own crap in there, that means that they're going to get rid of the Black Tiger.
That's just a ton of BS, because that's how they marketed against Starbucks, is like, you know, you get triple shots, you know, for the price of, like, a single shot at Starbucks.
Right. Let's see. This is Dave. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I just don't understand why Starbucks coffee is so expensive when it tastes like my biker shorts smell after a week's commute.
Exactly. You know, I'm the first to say, you know what? I don't hate Starbucks because they're successful. I know that there's a lot of people
in this General Motors of coffee.
There are a lot of people in Portland and other sort of hippie trippy type communities that there's a lot of people in America that just hate anything that's successful, and they just hate anything that's big. It's like those guys who hate they love a band until it becomes popular and then the band sucks.
Well, McDonald's has better coffee than Starbucks, for crying out loud.
You know what? You know what I hear a lot of buzz about these days, and I don't know if it's manufactured buzz. I hear a lot about, and I know this sounds strange, but I hear a lot of people talking about Dunkin' Donuts coffee now, and I don't know. I don't think I've walked into a donut store in like 10 years.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts is gone from around here. It's turned into, you know, male entertainment venues and crappy little taverns. But Krispy Kreme's got really good coffee too.
Really? Is that true?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Never been to Dunkin' Donuts? Well, Boom Boom Room.
Well, you go out on 82nd. There used to be a Dunkin' Donuts there by the Value Village.
Dunkin'
Now they sell, you know, like discount ephedra and stuff like that. And
what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. And we're done. Thank you, sir. All right. That just turned into a whole lot of insanity right there. Just Dunkin' Donuts, the coffee and lap dances. All right. 503-73. Well, we've got a call coming, but Scotty will screen them. Ladies and gentlemen, here's more of Tim Riley. Jesus.
Well, after all the rumors and speculation.
What was he talking about? You can go there and get adult products and ephedra. What coffee joint is... Do you remember that story that came out a couple years ago?
They've all been replaced by them.
They have a honey dip going down a pole or something.
A honey dip?
Never mind.
That's genius.
After all the rumors and speculation lately, Tom and Kitty will eventually do it. That's what it says here. They have their baby. They share their photos with the world. The only thing left on their to-do list is to get married.
Hey, by the way, we all heard the story that's a rental baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that baby has Gilby Clark's hair,
well,
by the way.
Well, because it still has it. I mean, it's great.
They got it from an old Dunkin' Donuts shop on 82nd.
Where you can also get Mahuang.
No, it's great we've seen the pictures, but nobody's actually seen it in real life yet.
Yeah, no. Only Leah Remini, who then took it back and would never, ever, ever say it again. And remember how, do you notice how, what's her name? Penelope Cruz said it, and then she just vanished. As soon as she said she'd seen the baby, suddenly you just never heard from her ever again. That baby has, you pointed it out when you were talking about, was it Brad and Angelina's baby you were saying looks normal?
Yeah.
And then that Surrey baby, it looks like he got it from a baby store.
Well, everyone's saying how much the baby looks like Tom Cruise. It does not. It looks like Chris Klein, the real father of the baby.
That's Sarah Dillon who said that, by the way.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's baby looks exactly like Brad Pitt. I mean, there's no confusing that.
This is the moon landing of babies.
You're really a Stanley Kubrick director.
Just look at a picture of that baby next to Chris Klein, and that could not be anybody else's child but his.
Yeah, all right. Chris Klein is the American Pie guy, and he was in the election, too. And he dated Katie Holmes, right? Right before she shacked up with Tom Cruise?
For a couple of years, they were actually engaged. And then right after they broke up, she met Tom Cruise, and then boom, she's pregnant.
This is like, what's his name? This is like that thing on Action with Jay Moore and Bobby G and the baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the wedding is still in the planning stages. They're very excited about it. They always said they'd be married by early autumn and still have that window.
Run.
They can't wait.
Run, Katie.
An unnamed source close to the couple adds, it's going to happen in the next 3 weeks.
We should raise money to kidnap Katie Holmes.
Put her in a hole in South Carolina or something.
Yeah. No. 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 Yes. We should raise money to put Katie Holmes in a pit and spray her with a hose. That's exactly what I'm suggesting. And then go to a donut shop where you can also get amyl nitrate. I have no idea. That guy's call is going to haunt me for the rest of the day. Let's see. We'll get a couple of these. Emma, hello.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing?
Hi, Emma. What's up, sister?
I am calling to let you know that we were shocked and amazed when we just got back from Germany, and we were in Berlin for a couple days, and Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere.
Well, that's because
in Berlin.
They're German. They don't know any better. I mean, really. I mean, look, I don't mean any disrespect to Dunkin' Donuts, but I'm saying you meet people from other countries sometimes, and they have no... You got to grow up in America, I think, and have a real... You got to be acclimated to American culture to have a good idea of where the baseline of quality is. That's like when you meet people from other countries, and it's like they'll talk about, like, Full House as though it's, like, the greatest work of art that Western culture has ever created.
Or Three's Company.
Yeah, Three's Company, and it's just because they have no... If they have... They have no baseline by which to grade anything.
No frame of reference.
It's true. So Dunkin' Donuts is huge in Europe.
Dunkin' Donuts, and at least in Berlin, Dunkin' Donuts was everywhere, and then Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's were all over Germany and Prague.
It is
really sad.
Somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true or not, I am not making a joke, but somebody told me that there was now, because, and again, I know this sounds horrible, but I'm just, this is a story I read, because, forgive me, because someone told me that there was now, like, within sight of the Auschwitz death camp, there was now a McDonald's. Somebody told, and I don't know if that's true, but I read it in the paper that
we
there was
there.
That there was
I
like
can't confirm.
You know, there's like McDonald's Hamburg and like McDonald's, you know, Berlin and McDonald's Auschwitz. And somebody told me that like McDonald's had put it like across the street or something. So I mean, it's, you know, and Scotty's pointing it out. It is really, I mean, as everybody knows, you are talking about a place that worships David Hasselhoff as the embodiment of all musical talent. So you know. Yeah, well, I'm with you.
That's true. I just thought I'd call and share that with
you. All right, Emma, thank you so much.
No problem. All have right. a great day.
You as well. That's Eagle. That's Emma. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. Actually, I was just calling about the Starbucks kind of world domination thing going on.
Yes.
Was that they started buying up the other competition coffee companies, and they're closing all their stores. Torre Fazioni has absolutely no more stores.
Is that
only
true?
Keeping them.
Now, when you say the number of stores, you mean the stores become Starbucks, or they just close the stores?
They close the stores just to keep the name, just the name. And actually, a place where I worked used the Torre Fazioni coffee, and I had to stop drinking it because all of a sudden, one day, tasted like ass.
It's funny how that's just become a thing that things taste like. You know, and my grandparents never talked about that. How's your porridge? Ass. That's not a thing. It's not a thing that people used to say. So... So let me just be very clear about this. So you're saying when Starbucks bought Torre Fazioni, they then... So let's say there was a particular Torre Fazioni store. Starbucks didn't take over the store, and then it became a Starbucks. You're saying the store is gone, period.
Right. There was one lower northwest, kind of the Pearl area, first one to close.
So if I was to go there now, it would be like a hardware store or something.
Yeah, the one on 23rd, the first one in Portland is closed.
Here's the thing. If that holds true, then that means that they're going to close Coffee People, and that can't happen because Coffee People is the only place that sells that Black Tiger coffee, and I cannot get through the day without that. I need that to function.
They just start looking around.
They can't take that. Because if that's going to happen, I have to start hoarding it. It's going to be like if they say, they're taking the Visa off the market. I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to have to start buying it in, like, metric tons.
The people
hoard
must be...
now.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
All right. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Paul. We've tapped into a whole thing here. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, just to let you know that Pizza Hut and Dunkin' Donuts and KFC, A&W, and Taco Bell are all owned by the GLAD Corporation.
As in Glad Bags?
Yeah.
Really? Well, there's a certain sort of logic to that, I suppose.
And
when one thinks about
in Europe. In fact, here's a stock tip for you. Invest, because it's only going up.
What?
I said invest in that company. It's only going up.
Oh, because they're exporting our crap everywhere.
Yeah.
No, that's true. As I always say, you know, the America doesn't, you know, other countries export like electronics and textiles, and we don't. We export. Well, Freudian slip. We export culture. That's what we do. Good, bad, or indifferent. We export culture. And the rest of the world is just some funhouse reflection of the United States, for good or bad.
Yeah, and so. Kentucky Fried Chicken is like the largest, not the largest, it is the fastest growing franchise in Europe.
Well, isn't that called, what's that company, the Yum Yum Company or whatever they are?
Yeah.
The Yum Yum Corporation, and they're like the European holders of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so that's why when you look at the rest of the world, I mean, everybody, you know, you hear those stories every now and again about how, like the average bra size in China has gone up like 400%, and they can't figure out why it is. It's because our mission seems to be to pack the rest of the world with lard. That's really it, man. It's like, that's really how we're slowly taking over the rest of the country. We're just airdropping Fritos everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the world just dies of heart disease. Then we go and we take over.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I have a good one, Rick. I'm going to lose you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. All right. There you go. All right. It's 503-766. I can see now that this is sending shockwaves through the Portland culture. I'm surprised that nobody has mentioned this yet. This business of Starbucks and coffee people.
We're the only ones who care in this community.
Well, it's, you know what it is? I'm just saying. Now, Sarah, you worked at Starbucks, and I don't want to seem like one of those guys paint everything with a bad brush. I know that Starbucks, from everything I've heard, that it's a good place to work. They pay a living wage, you know, and if you work X amount of hours, they give you benefits or whatever. So I have no problem with the corporation itself. I just find that their products, their coffee is just terrible. And I don't like the idea that, the coffee people is going away. Because coffee people, even though it's owned by a California company, does seem to have a real Portland feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one thing that, again, for good or bad, you can say about Starbucks, that Starbucks has the feel of being absolutely nowhere. It has the feel of being from nowhere, about nowhere, and it reflects the vibe of nowhere at all.
But I have to say,
syndicated talk show.
Yes, exactly what it is. It's the Sean Hannity of coffees.
Being an employee there, though, it's a really good company to work for. I mean, hell, I worked there for 3 months, and you work 20 hours a week, and you get full benefits.
I've never heard anybody complain.
Yeah.
I've never heard a Starbucks employee complain about it.
I don't know if it's in the thing, but I always got, like, free coffee, free food.
Yes.
It was fine.
No, I've never heard anybody who worked there saying that it was like a... Scotty's noting, I am ready to go there now. There you go. Yeah, take that other kid that's going to Mount Hood Community College with you. All right, 503-733-2970. We'll do one more here with Tim Riley in just a second. I got to read this. Oh, God. Oh, man. Boy, do you ever wish you could unread something? Subject line of this email. I want to run my fingers through Scotty J's enchanted forest. This is because of that photo we put of him with the chest hair.
Oh.
Now, what were you thinking?
No, I wasn't even thinking.
Okay.
As soon as it's such sexual and Scotty J, I kind of turn off.
It's a sad thing to say. Sorry, Scotty, no offense. He says, but since I'm a dude, he might not go for that. Perhaps if... What is it with dudes in the audience? Look, I'm not complaining about this. I guess I am complaining. What is it with the interns on this show, and specifically the male interns?
We happen to have very dreamy interns.
Kyle wasn't dreamy.
Kyle was good looking.
Kyle wasn't an ugly man, but I wouldn't...
He was from that Slim Shady era.
Yeah,
that has come and gone.
Kyle was a little pudgy. He was a little smushy. He was kind of skin and fat.
No, he was enduring. He was kind of one of those, like... I thought he was good-looking. He's like one of those good-looking slacker guys.
He was like a frat guy. He was good-looking frat guy.
Yeah.
Scotty is sort of a... Scotty's sort of a good-looking, like, junior regional manager at an H&R Block somewhere.
Totally.
I'm just saying that it just seems like the gay men in the audience always seem to go for the interns. It's always the interns, never the host. Anyway, I want to run my fingers through Scotty J's enchanted forest, but since I'm a dude, he might not go for that. And then it says, maybe if you could blindfold him and put him in a hole.
Signed, John Travolta.
Here's Tim Riley.
Time for Corpse Watch.
Ah, damn. Here's Corpse Watch. Jesus.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Presuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead.
I heard this song in Couple the other day.
Tonight I'm sitting alone. Digging up bones.
Here's Tim Riley.
This comes here from Lancaster, Wisconsin.
This is a follow-up, by the way. This was a corpse update.
Three men accused of trying to dig up a young woman's body to have sex with it had charges of attempted sexual assault dismissed Friday by a judge who noted Wisconsin has no law against necrophilia.
You'd think in the aftermath of... I mean, really, you would think that... Oh, I guess this was... I can never remember if Gein was in New Jersey or... It was in Wisconsin. It was in Plainfield. Mm. So you'd think that in the aftermath of Ed Gein, they would sort of, you know... They get that taken care of. Because the same thing happened in Salt Lake, by the way, when I lived in Salt Lake. Some guy arrested, rubber in one hand, shovel in the other, you know, and they took it to court. They realized that there was no law against sex with a corpse. And so they had to let him go. You would think that they would sort of be aware of that there, what with the gaining and so forth in the past.
So apparently, twins have been charged in this crime.
Twins. Mm-hmm. That's the twin brothers. Was it mm-hmm. the three dudes? Is two of them brothers?
Yeah.
Two of them brothers? Mm-hmm. That makes it really...
Don't you remember one of them was clean cut and the other one was the gothic guy with the black...
There are three 20-year-olds.
I remember that the one kid was all scabby looking mm-hmm. and had a lot, and his hair was all dyed black and looked exactly like the kind of guy who would be with that kind of buggery. He looked exactly like that kind of a kid. Like, if a multiple choice of what he was arrested for, you would always pick the sex with the corpse.
Well, the three 20-year-olds were arrested after an alleged attempt to dig up Laura Tennyson, who's 20, who lived in Cassville, who was killed in August in a motorcycle accident and buried in St. Charles Catholic Cemetery. Grant County Sheriff Ken Govier said the three were not acquainted with the woman, but had seen a photo in her obituary. Police said two of them told detectives that Nicholas, pictured left, and his brother, pictured right, who we don't see. Oh, they're ugly.
No, that picture of the kid makes him look so much better than he did when they arrested him. I think this is when Dan DeRosa was doing the news. We have the mugshot. It's at the smoking gun mm-hmm. of these kids. They're creepy looking. Creepy and scabby.
Well, apparently Nicholas had fantasized about having sex with a corpse. He allegedly said he was asked to dig up the grave and take the corpse back to a pre-selected location behind his house with the intent to have sex with her. The judge said there is no Wisconsin law that addresses necrophilia, but there is enough evidence to continue the case because of criminal damage to property and attempting to break into a burial vault, which belonged to the family.
Oh, good God.
The remaining charges could carry prison terms up to 5 years. They're all free on bail pending trial. Their arraignment is scheduled for October 9th.
Well, there you go. So,
that's my birthday.
And,
lucky me.
And isn't that the day you go to court with the woman who hit your car?
No, that's the 4th.
All right.
But it's not going to happen because she's just going to delay it because she thinks she can break my spirit and she won't.
She can't. No. We'll see her. We'll see her imprisoned and beaten if it's the last thing we do. The woman who hit Sarah's car. All right. Because there are laws against hitting a car and then running away into the night, aren't there? All right. There's
it's
your corpse
cowardly.
Watch.
Yeah,
it is.
I'm digging up for
oh, good God.
I'm digging up for
oh, my God. All right, here's the thing. So we have to take a break, don't we? Okay, so we'll come back. We'll hit some more news with Tim Riley. We'll get these calls. Peter Carlin coming up at 2:30. He's got this article. In fact, if you'd like to read it, it's the front page of today's Living section, D1. Headline, Sorkin has another winner. Big piece about Studio which airs tonight, 10 p.m. on KGW. All right, so I'll tell you what. We'll do this. We'll break. We'll come back. We got more, including our... We'll play that superhero stuff spot. More of your emails. More of your calls. Peter Carlin, like us at 3. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.